Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use Luke 23, 32 to 38 as the text. Today we're looking at following the promise from the beginning of the fall to the crucifixion. We get to the subject of the suffering of Christ. Many times we have the suffering and death of Christ all thrown together in one sentence, but I've often contemplated the real point of the suffering there, so we're going to take a look at that a little bit tonight. Luke 23, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." I heard it again just recently, and I've heard over the past few years, every now and then there is a discussion of capital punishment in our country and finding a humane way for criminals to die. It's not a discussion of whether we should have capital punishment, but I just recently heard a discussion about the proper way for someone to die, and the point of the argument goes, even if you're sentenced to die for some terrible crime and you deserve to die, you deserve a painless death. And that's the argument, and that's the way it goes. I think of it because tonight we look at the place of suffering in the promise that Jesus kept. And I understand he had to die. Death was always a part of the keeping of the promise. It was a rule that God made that payment for sin was going to be death. Jesus just came along and gave it that amazing divine wrinkle. He would do the dying instead of us. But the death is there. It's in the Christmas story. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is warned, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." His death was going to be the payment. I don't pretend to understand God, but I get the death for sin payment business. It's the suffering that seems to be over the top for me. If any of you saw the movie The Passion of Christ, a movie that Mel Gibson produced, the crucifixion was bad, but if you saw the movie, the torture that Jesus went through before the crucifixion was what made the movie so painful for me. I have heard of people who have seen the movie more than once. Maybe some of you have. It's okay. I could not see it again. Just the suffering, the depth of it was just amazing. Whole Lenten services have been made about the suffering of Jesus and what he actually went through leading up to and including the crucifixion. And we can easily see how bad it was, but mostly we don't ever address that one question, why did he have to suffer? So let's look at why we ought to take some time to just think about the suffering. I love the internet. You can get an opinion about anything, and there are some odd opinions out there, but I Googled this subject about why Jesus had to suffer. And there were some rather entertaining ideas out there. I prefer the words of Jesus. He said in Luke 24:26, when he was talking to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, Jesus said, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Evidently, it was the intention of God that Jesus suffer. And we know that sin made it necessary. I just think the two are tied together. The awful consequence of our sin show us how awful sin is. The horrible suffering that he went through should indicate how horrible sin is. I tend to focus on the promise. I tend to focus on the end of the promise. I get to live forever in heaven. Even now all my sins are forgiven. I celebrate, I rejoice. And I know many of you give up things for Lent. I never do. And it's fine that you do. I'm not against that. If you give up chocolate, you can mail it to me because it seems like... I mean, we could sort of work together on that. But if you give up pecan pie, we can make a deal. I live in Easter joy all the time. And I sometimes could even be accused of skipping past Lent. Lent is a very good reminder that sin is a terrible thing. And the suffering of Jesus ought to remind us how terrible how awful our sin must be. It ruins our time on earth. Families are broken and family get-togethers are spoiled by sin. Holidays, when we should be celebrating and happy, are spoiled by sin. Our workplace is a mess often because of sin. Our neighborhoods are difficult, all of it the result of sin. Jesus would at least have us be aware that if there is a problem with sin, you are either part of the problem or you are part of the solution. He would say, don't pay back a sin with another sin. He would say, even if you suffer injustice at the hands of another person, it is not a reason to sin. We should try very hard not to be the reason things are broken where we live. If our sin made this suffering necessary, then our sin is a monster that should not be living in our house, and yet too many times we have become friends with sin, or at least we have become comfortable with sin, and we are so used to it, it does not surprise us, it does not appall us. I suspect that you are like me. Your favorite commandments are the ones you can keep easily. You know what my favorite commandment is? Mine is the one that says go to church, because I go twice on Sundays and once on Saturday. Now, granted, you pay me to go, and that might take a little away from it, but I'm good with that one. I mean, I'm here. I also suspect each of you has a commandment that you struggle with, and it will be different for all of us, but it's a little harder to keep. And if the struggle has been going on for a long time, and if it has been wearing us down, there are times when we tend to just finally give up on the struggle. We have lost so many times. What's the use of trying? Because we know we just can't get past that one commandment. Let the suffering of Jesus encourage you to not give up the fight. The right thing to do will always be the right thing to do. His suffering was the price of wrong. Always consider sin your fight, your adversary, and at war with you. The worst result of sin is that it separated us from God. He is holy. Those who are unholy cannot stand in His presence. And you are unholy, according to the Bible, if you have one sin to your name. This massive picture might best be seen in one little event in the Bible. It's in Genesis 3:8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. Just think of that picture. There is the Creator walking in the cool of the day. That's the best time of the day. And I imagine every other day they would run to Him and they would share what had happened that day. And it was all good stories and all good news. And they would walk with Him and talk with Him and they would be friends with Him. And on this day they ran and they hid from God. Sin made it feel like they could not run to greet God, so they could talk and share the day, and they hid from God. It's a picture of what sin does. Peter realizes that Jesus is God in Luke 5:8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees, and he said, I'm so glad to see you. Thanks for coming. He said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Your sin can make it feel like that you should hide from God. And it shows up when you are afraid to pray to God, so you don't feel like praying because you're afraid God's not going to hear your prayer. These are the times when you go to church, but you feel uncomfortable in church because it's God's house. And you know, your sin had made you feel like you're not one of God's children. Sin still feels like a barrier between you and God. Even on Judgment Day, the Bible says in Romans 2:12, they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, at other times even defending them. Somewhere inside, everybody knows they're sinners. And in every part of the world, in every society, every group of peoples has searched to find their way back to God. Even in remote places where they don't have radio and television or internet or any kind of way to hear from the rest of the world, you find those lost pockets of people, and they are searching for God because they know they have lost the way to God. Let the suffering of Jesus Christ remind you of the tragedy of that loss. He did come. He did keep the promise. And what He gives you back is a connection to God so that you can run to God and you can talk to God. Treasure it for what it gives you. When you see the suffering, treasure it for what it costs the Savior. So let's make sure we see what He paid for when He suffered and when He died. He makes you able to stand in the presence of God. Turns out the only prayers that are heard to God are the prayers of a righteous individual. That is someone who is 100% pure. He makes it possible for you to be that person. Imperable. You and I cannot grasp that because it seems too impossible. So he told stories. He said there was a wedding, and the people who were coming received garments to wear at the wedding, and then they could stand there and be acceptable at the wedding. He told stories about a group of men who worked only the last hour of the day and missed the whole heat of the day and all the hard work, and they were paid a full day's labor because they were given more than they earned. The prodigal son is welcomed back home. The lost sheep is brought back with rejoicing. Pictures of what it means to be just given acceptance into the presence of God. Try to find a way to see yourself as forgiven, as spotless, as a saint. This is what Jesus paid such a high price to attain. When Jesus comes again to end this world, it turns out, according to the Bible, that you will not run away and you will not hide. The Bible says you will know that it is Jesus coming, and he will sweep you to his side, and you will stand there in glory. When you pray this evening, you will not wonder if he listened, because you are one of his children. When you get a voice that shouts at you that God does not like you anymore, shout back that he paid with his suffering, and he paid with his death, and he won from me sainthood. He won from me glory. Even in this somber season of Lent, our hearts are supposed to be running over with joy. We gather to celebrate the gift, even as we measure the cost. But we remember he kept the promise. We remember he did suffer, and he did die, and he did pay the penalty, so we could be the saints. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.